The place where we are sitting at now is Surabhi Kunja, which you maybe know from the writings of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Surabhi Kunja te name harta kuleche kodnitai. This is the place where Nityananda Prabhu founded the Namaharta on the basis of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction. Prati ghare ghare gya kar shuna shuna Nityananda shuna haridas shabatra ama agga karaha prakash prati ghare ghare gya kara ebika bhaja krishna balo krishna karo krishna shikha. In pursuance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order, the first preaching order to go and preach to the public in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, he ordered Nityananda and Haridas to go door to door and make known Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order, begging door to door. And the order is to bhaja Krishna, worship Krishna, bolo Krishna, chant the name of Krishna, and study at the Mayapur Institute. Is that right? Karo Krishna Shikha. Study Bhagavad Gita as it is, and everything else. Nityananda Prabhu famously had a different idea. He didn't follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction. What did he do? What did he tell everyone? Bhaja Gauranga. Kaha Gauranga, Laha Gauranga Namare, Jai Jun Gauranga Bhaje, Shemora Pranore. He thought, what will these people know about Krishna? Better they worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he told them, worship Gauranga, Bhaja Gauranga, say the name of Gauranga. And just in case you didn't understand that, take the name of Gauranga. And he said that whoever worships Gauranga, he is my Nityananda Prabhu's very life. So this is the place where that was established. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he rediscovered this place as the place of known as Surabhi Kunj. And there's a whole history which he has related in his Navadvip Dhamma Mahatmya. This is Gudrum, which means cow and tree, and how Surabhi, the spiritual cow, came to this place. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has revealed so many places. How can he do that? Well, that's, you may just say it's imagination, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself ordered Rupan Sanatan Sanatan Goswami and all the other Goswamis of Vrindavan by association. One of the services he gave to the six Goswami was Lupta Tirthodha, to find out the forgotten holy places within Vrindavan. Of course, all of Vrindavan is holy, but there are specific places of Krishna's pastimes within Vrindavan which weren't known. Have you all been to Keshi Ghat in Vrindavan? How do you know that it's the place that Keshi Ghat means the place where Krishna killed the Keshi demon, right? So how do you know it's the place where Krishna killed the Keshi demon? How do you know all these things? It was Krishna's pastimes happened a long time ago. By our estimation, of course, 5,000 years isn't even enough time for Brahma to blink. But in our estimation, it's a long time. Civilization began how long ago? 3,000 years ago, right? And I guess it really began about 1066 or so, when England became one country. Well, it wasn't even. Anyway, civilization, as you all know, began with the Greeks, and it really took shape in England. not Russia. Definitely not in Slovenia. But actually, we may safely conclude, having studied the books of Srila Prabhupada, that pretty much everything you ever studied in school is a bunch of rubbish. It's a great relief to know that. Because it seemed to be a bunch of rubbish when we were being taught it, but at the time we were supposed to take it very seriously. So anyway, Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, approximately. And in the course of time, not only the pastime places, but even the pastimes became forgotten and unknown. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had Rupa and Sanatan reveal some of those pastimes, because they are participants in the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. To reveal those in writings and the places of those pastimes. And actually, Rupa and Sanatan revealed so many places, and later on, Narayan Bhatta Goswami also revealed so many other places of Krishna's pastimes, and others also, and there are different opinions, just like Vallabhacharya, he also revealed some places. So if you're in the Vallabh Sampradaya and you go to Gokul in Vrajamandal, it's different to the Gokul of... Anyway, there are some different opinions also. But Vrindavan is unlimited and there can be different... Where is the Rasasthali in Vrindavan? Where is it? Where Krishna had the Rasalila? Where is it? Anyone? Sivakunj. That's one of them. He didn't have Rasalila only in one place. He had it in various places. One of the places is in the Yamuna. Right? How did he have a rasa dance in the Yamuna? On the heads of Kaliya. He brought all the gopis and danced on the heads of Kaliya. Got a lot of mercy, that Kaliya. So in this way, the six Goswamis, they reveal the Dham. This Ghosh, what was his name? Shishir Kumar Ghosh, who was a famous figure in Bengali in the 19th century. He called Bhaktivinoda Thakur the seventh Goswami, because practically he did for Mayapur Navadvip what the six Goswamis did. He revealed many pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He revealed many places of pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he revived the whole movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in so many ways, which Rupa and Sanatan did also. Rupa and Sanatan, and especially after that, the Srinivas Narottam Shyamananda, they did the work in the field, so to speak, here in Bengal and Orissa. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, by his transcendental vision, he discovered all these places. Actually, he was always thinking how to go to Vrindavan, how to retire from his government service and go to Vrindavan. But he wasn't allowed to go to Vrindavan. He was told you have to come to Navadvip and serve the Dham of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here. So he did that, and famously he discovered the actual birth site of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We say, Gauravi Bhava Bhumestram Nirdeshta Sajjana Priyaha Vaishnava Sarva Bhoma Sri Jagannathaya Tainama. We worship Jagannath Das Babaji as the one who pointed out, this is the place of birth of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he confirmed it. But actually, it was Bhaktivinoda Thakur who, it was revealed to Bhaktivinoda Thakur first and confirmed by Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj and so many other places. Now, how would you know? How would you, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he himself was the first to find the lost holy place in Vrajamandal, and that holy place was Radha Kund. And the villagers were astonished, because they're just, you can imagine there's fields and then there's some little pond where the buffaloes go, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's already in ecstasy, and then he gets in super high powered ecstasy, and this is Radha Kund. What's all this about? He recognized that by his transcendental vision. So same thing here. This would have been rice fields, and actually there was a lot of jungle at that time in Navadvip Dham, as there was in much of India, even in the 19th century. And there's been so many forests have been cut down in the meantime. The jungles and tigers and wild pigs and so many dangerous animals. Yeah, there were tigers. Bengal tiger is famous, but that's only in, you won't find around here. They're still in the south of Bengal. There are some. So, how would you know? There's just some land here. Someone's cultivating rice. And he says, this is Surabhi Kunj. And how do you know? We accept Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said. We accept his vision. No one among the followers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur questioned that. It's just accepted. But again, there are other claims for the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are two birthplaces of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the Navadvip side, or supposed to be the holy place. So it was a great struggle, and it hasn't finished. It won't stop to establish that Mayapur is the actual birthplace. So this holy dham is really a gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but it's received through our acharyas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give Krishna Prem. Anarpita Chirin Chirat Karunya Avatirno Kalo Samapiyatam Unutojvala Rasa Swabhakti Shriyam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give that which had never been given before, or at least not in a very long time. The topmost resplendent rasa of bhakti to himself, who is Radha and Krishna. So in short, he came to give Krishna prema. Namo Mahavadanaya Krishna prema pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Nande Goratvishay Nama. Rupa Goswami recognized Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So many people saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Rupa Goswami recognized and captured this in this prayer to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he is the most munificent because he is Krishna in a golden form and is giving Krishna prema. So he came to give Krishna prema. How does he give Krishna prema? How do you get Krishna prema? Well, there could be various answers to that question, but I'm going to... Bhaktivinoda Thakur opens his series of songs under the title Sharanagati, with Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Jibe Daya Kari. What's the line? Saparshada Sri Adhama Shaha Abhatari. Atantra Dolaba Prema Kari Bare Dan Shikai Sharanagati Bhakatera Pran. So by teaching the process of Sharanagati, taking shelter of the Lord, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave Krishna praise. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, being merciful to the jivas, descended with his associates and with his dham to this world to give extremely rare prema, and the process of giving it by teaching the process of Sharanagati. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur summarizes the process of Sharanagati in the series of songs that follow. So Mayapur and Navadvip Dham is a place to get Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, a place to get Krishna prema, a place to surrender to Krishna. Krishna says, Sarvadhaman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tva sarva paphebhyo mokshayishyami ma sucha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Bhaja Krishna, Balo Krishna, Karo Krishna Shikha. Worship Krishna, chant the name of Krishna, and study Krishna's teachings, study about Krishna. Study Krishna's teachings means Bhagavad Gita, and about Krishna, the Srimad Bhagavatam, particularly. So this comes under the category of Karo Krishna Shikha. Bolo Krishna, Bhaja Krishna, Gao Krishna Naam, Krishna Bino Keho Kichu Nabhavehoa. Again and again, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said these things. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to chant the holy names of Krishna, but that doesn't mean that the Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja is retired or out of date. The chanting is not independent of the surrendering to Krishna. It's all part of the same package. And without this mood of surrendering to Krishna, then chanting Hare Krishna won't really be chanting at all. Srila Prabhupada has given us a translation or the meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra, which is really, there are various meanings which can be given, but it's really the essence. And it's applicable from the very beginning stage of spiritual life right up to the very highest stage, which is, O Krishna, O energy of Krishna, please engage me in your service. Well, the highest stage is Radha, so she won't pray that, O energy of Krishna, please engage me in your service, because she is the energy of Krishna. But anyway, no one goes as high as that, because we can, as Bhaktivinoda Thakura's song in this song, Hoibo Radhara Dasi. That's as high as you can go. And that's a short way of putting it, because it is, of course, Dasa nu Dasa nu Dasa nu Dasa. So we may say that, well, I've come to Mayapur, and I'm just living here, and by the mercy of the Dham, I'll be delivered. But really, coming to the Dham means to chant the names with full sincerity, engage in service, serve the Dhammavasis, hear about Krishna, study about Krishna, and fully surrender to Krishna. It's not that the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the process of Sharanagati everywhere except Navadvip. Rather, it is intensified here. So how can we go to Mayapur? How would you answer that? If you're in Moscow, get a flight to Delhi, a connecting flight to Calcutta, make your way out, and you can come to Mayapur. And then according to how much you can afford, you can live in, what's that, Rasamrita Kunj, or you can live in Gauranaga or in the Brahmacharya Ashram or whatever. However, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given us some clue as to how we can actually enter the Dham with siddhi lalasa, with a desire for perfection in devotional service. This song which we just sung, it comes both in Sharanagati, the collection of songs, Sharanagati by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and also comes within his collection, Gitavali or Gitamala. I get mixed up. I think Billy Gitavali. And there's a series of songs called Siddhi Lalasa, beginning with this one. With how to get the mercy of the holy Dham. And as many Vaishnava songs, as is common in many Vaishnava songs, he places the song, his aspiration, Siddhi Lalasa, aspiring for perfection. He places it in the form of a kobe, when, in the future, when will that happen? Kobe hobe bolo shedin mor. Many songs, they begin like that. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is, of course, a completely perfect person. But it is the symptom of a perfect person in that he doesn't think himself to be perfect, and he's trying to be perfect. What is that? I can. Uttam hoya nije mane trinadham. The topmost devotee thinks himself lower than the grass. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given us a clue how to enter the holy dham. He sings. And I'll just go through it quickly. Because all of the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur are so very deep that you could spend thousands of lifetimes trying to understand one line. And it's not, ultimately it's not to be understood. It's to be understood, yes, but not exactly by an intellectual process. And I presume in your Mayapur Institute you stress this point again and again and again, that it's not simply an intellectual process that we're coming and studying like in a university and you get a degree. Getting the degree is not the point. One has to get, as Srila Prabhupada writes in a purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that one has to get a PhD from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, approved by Ramananda Rai. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wasn't giving out PhD certificates, but the PhD is the study of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, this should be the aspiration, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur is teaching us. Kobe Gaurabani, Gaurabani. Just like Vrindavan, the forest of Vrinda, this is the forest. Gaurabani means the forest of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Navaridham. Suradhuni Tote. On the bank of the river of the gods, which means Ganga, who comes from the heavenly world. She comes from the heavenly world. Why did she come from the heavenly world? Vamana stuck his toe through and made a leak. Bhagirath brought her here. So therefore the Ganga here is known as Bhagirathi or Janavi, because it was... Okay, there's some reasons. Any other reason? Well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to Navadvipa, so she wanted to get his mercy and serve him. So she had her own reasons for coming. So, like I say, any word you could go off and describe, and I better make it short. Suradhuni Tote, on the bank, when in Navadvipa Dham, which is on the bank of the Ganga, calling out, Ha Radhe, Ha Krishna, Kadiya Bharabo, crying, wandering around, Deha Shukachari, without giving up all hopes for any happiness of the body. Nana Lata Torutole, wandering around in the jungles among the trees and the creepers. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, from the external point of view, is a highly respectable government official. But he says, Kobe Shapacha Grihete Magya Kaiba. When will begging food from the homes of the lowest type of people? And for us coming from the Western countries, and even for Indians born today, it's difficult to understand the implications of this, because India is a very caste-conscious kind of society, and it is going on up to the present day. Maybe not so much in Bengal. Maybe it's less so in Bengal than other places, thanks to the Bam Front or the communist influence. But very, very strong, that the people, they don't want to look at or see or associate with, or with people of, especially people who are very low, considered very low. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, in the holy dham, I'll beg food, which is the worst thing you can do in terms of caste consciousness, is to eat the food given by, Svapacha literally means a dog cooker, people who eat dogs. It's really low. But he's saying, he's aspiring. What does that mean? That means giving up all caste consciousness. That Jamuna Pulirne, that song also comes, that I don't remember the words now, but it's giving up the pride of birth, then you can enter into Vrindavan. He sings. So begging food from the Svapachas, and what will you drink? Drink the water of the Saraswati. That's the river we crossed to come here, locally known as Jalangi, and seen in the eyes of the transcendentalists as Saraswati. This river is Saraswati. So Puline Puline, on the banks of the Saraswati and the Ganga, Garagari Dibba, rolling on the ground, Kari Krishna Kolaho, crying out the names of Krishna. And Kolaho gives the idea of just in a very boisterous and spontaneous way. Kobe, again and again he's saying, Kobe, when? Dhamma Vasijani, when will I see the residence of the Dham? When will I, offering obeisance to them, I will beg them for a drop of mercy. Vaishnava Charana Renu Gai Maki Dhari Abhaduta Besh. So taking the dust from the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas, rubbing that all over my body, and wearing the clothing of an avadhut. Avadhut means one who is out of society. There are two kinds of people who are not within the Varnashram society. One is above and one is below. So Svapacha means they're below. They don't have to follow any rules because they're nirgrunta. They don't follow any rules because they're incapable, they're very low, and they're not civilized. But the avadhut is one who's so advanced he doesn't have to follow. That's a great misunderstanding in our ISKCON. We think, well, we're transcendental. Vaishnavas are transcendental, so we don't have to follow any rules. But we're not transcendental, and then we become lower. We're coming from the lower than Varnashram level. And if we think we don't have to, for the rules are meant to purify us, and if we don't follow them, it's not that we automatically, by not following rules, you become on the Nityananda is avatut. You don't automatically become on the level of a Paramahamsa by imitation. Nityananda avatut, we say sadvaitam, savadhutam, parijana sahitam, Krishna Chaitanyadem. So savadhutam means Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with avatut, which is a name of Nityananda Prabhu, because he acted in such an unconventional manner, which I won't get into now. That's another story, or many stories. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in other words, Taji Kula Laj, he says in the Jamuna Puline song, Tajikula Raj Bhaja Braja Raj Binoda Minoti Kori Bhaktivinoda Thakur to enter to see the pastimes of Vrindavan. So Gorina Jaibo Bone Probeshipo Olila Roshera Tori Tajikula Raj Bhaja Braja Raj Binoda Minoti Kori. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, how to actually enter Vrindavan? One has to give up all material designations. It's the same teaching that we get in the very beginning of our Krishna conscious education. Sarvopadi vinirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam hrishikena hrishikesha sevanam bhakti ruchyate. Without identifying with any of the designations, which we have. We'll all have designations. As long as we're in this world, we'll have designations. As long as I'm in this body, I'll be known as a British male. Okay, all right, let's not discuss that anymore. It is possible to change, but I don't plan to. British male. Such and such a height, thin-bodied, Vata Pitta, Capricorn, the designations go with the body. But one should, spiritual consciousness means to not identify with that, knowing that one is not the body. And then how do I identify? Gopi Bharata Padakamlayo Dasudasa Nudasa. This is the identification. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur shows from his songs and from his writings how externally he appeared to be a respectable leading citizen of Calcutta. But his internal life, internally, Amito Shananda Shukada Bhashi Radhika Madhava Charanadasi. I am a resident of Shananda Shukada Kunj, which is just down the road. Bhaktivinoda Thakur first got this plot, and then he took another larger plot, just 5 minutes walk from here, not even that. Shananda Shukada Kunj. And there he did bhajan, chanting, and he lived as a gopi of Vrindavan. So that's what we're supposed to do in Mayapur. That's what we're supposed to do. No imitation, no artificial, no jumping ahead, but that's what it's actually meant for. It may happen in this lifetime, it may happen in a million lifetimes, but that's what it's meant for. So, sarvo padivam nirmuktam, giving up all material designations, being completely purified, that's an important point, isn't it? Completely purified of any material attachment. The designation is there, but one should not be attached to it. I should not be attached that I am an Englishman, or so on, or there, whatever. One should not be attached. Know that this is not the real me. And serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hrishikena Hrishikesh, service. It's all service, right? Serving the, utilizing the service, the senses for the service of the Master of the senses, and then this is bhakti. Iha yasya hare dasye. What's the next line? Karmana manasagira nikilasya pyavastasu jivan mukta sa uchate. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is an example of the life, because he did reveal to some extent his internal life, how even while living in this world he was serving Krishna with his mind, body and words. So he was liberated while in this lifetime. So avadhuta besh means even externally not identifying with any of the designations. Giving up the designations. After one accepts sannyas, one is, or any sadhu, one may not officially accept sannyas. It would be very difficult to find, these sociologists come to India and they do research on all kinds of things. So if you wanted to research what kind of people become sadhus, they'd have a hard time, because sadhus, they won't talk. They won't say, I was from Bardhaman Jilla and I used to be a teacher. They won't say that life. When you become a sadhu, that's whatever was in the past is gone. So an avadhut, he doesn't identify at all with the life which he had before, which anyway is not real. Whatever we've done in this material world is not real. It's just one act in a multi-act drama which is completely meaningless. Shakespeare, what is that? All men are as on a stage with fools or something. I can't remember. Something like that. Shakespeare had some good insights. Life is but a stage, and we are but the players. And there's another one, something like they're fools or something like that. There's another one. Okay. It is authorized to quote Shakespeare. Prabhupada did. You can quote anyone, as long as it's in the line of Chaitanya's philosophy. You can quote Shankara. I do it all the time, right? Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jatare shainam. Again and again getting born, again and again dying. So, going on with this song. Kabe gora braja jane, bedna dekibo, hoibo baraja basi. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when I will see the residents of no difference between the residents of Vrindavan and the residents of Braja, then I can be a resident of Vrindavan. And an alternative reading of this, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur personally revised his songs also after first publishing them, is Kabe Gora Braja Bone, when I see the land of Vrindavan and the land of Navadvip, or the people of Navadvipa and the people of Vrindavan is the same, then I myself can be a Brijbasi or a resident of Vrindavan. So Sri Gaura Mandala Bhumi Jeba Jani Chintamani Tar Hoi Braja Bhumi Bas Narottam Das. We'll find Bhaktivinoda Thakur, of course, echoes Narottam Das's songs in so many ways. So, Thakur, at that time, Dhamera Shurub Shuribe Nayane. So, if we actually, this is the point we're coming, if we actually want to enter the Dham and see the Dham as what's happening in the Dham, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just like in Vrindavan, Rasalila is going on, who sees it? What do we see when we go to Vrindavan? We see traffic jams nowadays. But really seeing Vrindavan is seeing the pastimes. Same thing in Navadvip Dham. This Adapi ho jailila kore gora rai kono kono bhagyavane deki bare pai. Even today, those who are fortunate, they can see the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu going on here in Navadvip Dham. But these are the qualifications. One has to be absolutely surrendered to Krishna. So coming to the Dham is meant for speeding up one's advancement in Krishna consciousness. Dhamme surb surbe nayane hoibo radharadasi. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I can be a maidservant of Radharani. So this is what the coming to Navadvip Dham means, with this aspiration. And actually it's a very great opportunity. Pretty much all the devotees who come here, especially those who come to live here, they must be serious about Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, why would you come and live here? Why would you leave whatever you had before, whatever you were used to, and come and live here? It's not easy to live here, especially for non-Bengalis or non-Indians. It's the climate is very difficult. It's not easy to live. Most of them, it's difficult to live even economically. It's difficult to live. And getting used to the whole culture and the food and everything, it may be very difficult in so many ways, but devotees are coming. And by the mercy of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and all the acharyas, there are so many facilities for spiritual life here now. Just as I met Avadhut Maharaj, who kindly invited me here, we were just discussing, he asked me when I'd first come here, and I said 1976. And he said, oh, there's a lot of difference between that time and now. And that's a common point of conversation between those who have seen Mayapur and Navadvip in the 1970s or 19, or even in the 1990s, and seeing it now. It used to be the same as Vrindavan, very peaceful. You could walk from Krishna Balaram Mandir to the town of Vrindavan. There were fields with peacocks in between and a few ashrams here and there. So what a difference. And it seems it was much nicer then, but of course the acharyas wanted to develop the dham. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted Mayapur to be a city of 50,000 people. So that many people could come and live here and take advantage of the spiritual facilities. So there may be some small places within the dham where you can go and do bhajan also. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he simultaneously developed the dham, but he also emphasized very much that it's meant to be a place of bhajan, place of worshipping Krishna. And so still there are many places like that. Maybe within the next 10 or 20 years they'll all become urbanized. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he himself performed bhajan in Puri. But his movement was meant to be a mass movement. Several times in Chaitanya Charitamrita it's mentioned that, just like for instance in Varanasi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described after bathing in the Ganga, he would go to Bindu Madhav temple, chanting, and lakhalak, hundreds of thousands of people would follow him. So Chaitanya, it's meant to be a mass movement. We shouldn't complain if Mayapur is getting developed, because that's what the acharyas wanted. And Srila Prabhupada, he was somewhat critical of those who simply lived in Mayapur, supposed to be followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and didn't develop it. He was interested in development. But of course we should know that real development is not only in buildings, but in our building up our own spiritual life. But the buildings and the facilities, they give facility for that. Just like today, Shivratri is being celebrated at the Jagannath Temple in Rajapur. You may wonder, well, why are they celebrating Shivratri? Well, Jagannath came there about 500 years ago, but even before that, Shiva was there. Shiva Linga was there. So like that in Mayapur, one thing at ISKCON Mayapur, the festivals are celebrated in a very grand way, isn't it? So it's, even every day is like a festival. Mangal Arati is the festival. Means there are many people and they're singing and dancing and they're having prasadam. Prasadam comes a little later. But it's very impressive and it's very uplifting and inspiring. If one can get in the groove, one has to be very careful not to be diverted by, there are so many other things you can do. You can get involved in local politics and gossip and thinking how to make money. You may need to make money, but that's not the goal. We should always remember. Outside Maya, of course, everywhere, that our goal of life is, as Srila Prabhupada wrote in one letter, that some of the leaders of his movement at that time, he said, there appear to be symptoms of missing the point. The point of life is to become mad after Krishna. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given some idea of becoming mad after Krishna, rolling on the ground, calling out Krishna, Krishna. He didn't personally do that. He was mad after Krishna. He gave up his prestigious position to go and live in a jungle among uneducated, uncultured people, dangerous place with tigers and who knows what. Prabhupada is also mad in the sense, mad after Krishna. He struggled and took so many difficulties. Why did he do that? He could have just lived comfortably in Vrindavan. He was mad after Krishna. He was so determined to give Krishna to others. And you know, why bother? Why not just live simply and peacefully? Well, you can do that. Mayapur is meant for that. You can come and live simply and peacefully. But there may be some struggle also. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had to struggle. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had to struggle. So much struggle to make facility for others to come and take advantage of the holy dham. So we may wonder why, of all the in this transcendental wonderland, which is Navadvip Dham, why are we holding this little meeting here today? Well, the reason is I was invited by Avadhut Maharaj, who's the Mottadhaka, or the overseer of this mart here. He invited through Kishore Prabhu, he invited me to come, so I thought, there must be a Bengali or Sanskrit saying for killing two birds with one stone, which is a really mlecha way of saying it. Oh, go to the Rath Yatra and sell bananas at the same time. It's something like that. That's a bit more civilized than killing two birds. Anyway, I thought, I should have something I should say while I'm here, apart from just chit-chat. And I was invited here, so that's why we're here. I must have come here first in 76, because we went all around the different places. Achyutananda Swami took us around. But there was nothing developed here. And then some years ago, I came again and I saw something is developed. That was Bhakti Malai Giri Maharaj, who was, he'd got this land, and he told me how some of the struggles he'd gone through to get this land. He was a disciple of Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj, who was a disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. And Boshun, Anajana Ashan Adivastakam. So I the first time I came here in recent times, which was how many years ago? 8 years ago? 10 years ago? I came here. You were with me when I met Giri Maharaj? Oh, before that I came. He was quite old at that time. And next time I came, and you can also go and take darshan at Maharaj's Samadhi, which is just here in front. And then, and the service of establishing a temple, and that has devolved upon Avadhut Maharaj, who's sitting here. And I'm happy to say that he's my friend, but he's a friend to everyone. Is it not? Dhira, dhira, janapriyo, priyakaro. He's very friendly. And you may be surprised, but in Navadvip Dham, there are not only dhira, there are plenty of adhira also. Navadvip Dhame shudhamatra dhira lok naito, adhira aneko ache. But he's dear to them, he's dear to everyone, because in his heart, Krishna adhishtan, Krishna is in his heart. Krishna is in everyone's heart. So, but some realize it and some don't. So he kindly invited me, and so I thought, a few years ago I also did it. We had a small gathering like this here in this temple. And unfortunately Maharaj wasn't here at the time. So, practically he's developed this whole temple and is going on developing the guest house and everything like that. So I'd like to invite Maharaj to say a few words to you all.